Today we look at the book of Matthew, Matthew 27. Sometimes I think that we oftentimes put ourselves in the wrong place. It's kind of funny when you read through the Gospels, so many times when you read some of the things that the Pharisees did or didn't do, sometimes it's funny to look at, and if you really stop and read through it, you can say to yourself, I've often found myself in that same position of being closer to the Pharisees than being closer to what Jesus has asked me to do. It's easy to fall into that. And I think in Matthew 27, it does give us a good indication of one of the things that the Pharisees did, which too often we find ourselves doing the same thing. Trust me, in this life, you never want to be walking in the shoes of the Pharisees, because it was never good. One of the things the Pharisees said in Matthew 27, one of the things that they said, let me read in, this is at the crucifixion of Jesus. And one of the things that the Pharisees had said was, you know what, if you do this, Jesus, then we'll believe. You show us this sign, then we'll believe you. Here's the concept I want you to see for today. It's never a good place to be when you get to the point of you say, God, if you show me this, then I'll believe. If you demonstrate this to me, then I'll believe. All of us at one point or another in our walk have found ourselves in the position of saying that. Or if not saying it, at least thinking it. And thinking, God, if you'll just show me this, I'll believe you. If you'll just demonstrate this to me, then I'll believe in you. Listen, that's the kind of attitude that puts us in the same place as the Pharisees, and that's never a good place to be. In the story of Matthew with the death of Jesus, I'm going to start reading in verse number 42 of Matthew 27. And this is those who are scoffing at Jesus as he's on the cross. He rescued others from death. Himself, he cannot rescue from death. He is the King of Israel. This is the Pharisees talking. Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe in and acknowledge and cleave to him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now, if he can, if he cares for him, and we'll have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. And the robbers who were there crucified with him also abused and reproached him and made sport of him in the same way. So here's the Pharisees. And the Pharisees have said, he's rescued others from death. Himself he cannot rescue from death. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now. Then we'll believe in and acknowledge and cleave to him. So the Pharisees are saying, you know what? You show us this sign and we'll believe. You demonstrate this as you are hanging there on the cross. Death awaits you. It's the only conclusion that can come from this series of events and from your current position. If you can save yourself from death, if you can come down from that cross, then we will believe. You show us this sign, then we'll believe, then we'll acknowledge, then we will cleave to you. The sad thing is, Jesus had shown them sign after sign after sign, and they wouldn't. And you know what? Had Jesus somehow, of course he wouldn't because he had to die on the cross. He had to be the perfect sacrifice. But even had Jesus come off that cross, they still wouldn't have believed. They still would have found reasons to doubt. I mean, stop and consider. They had seen evidence of Jesus healing the sick, raising the dead. They had seen the demon-possessed set free. They had seen Jesus do miracle upon miracle upon miracle. And if they hadn't seen all of them, they certainly heard all the reports. But there was many Pharisees present when Jesus did miracles. So they had seen these things, and guess what? They still didn't believe. Here's what happens. When you and I get ourselves in the place that we say, you know, God, if you'll just show me this, I will really serve you. If you will demonstrate this, I'll believe in you and then I will serve you. It's not the way that God operates. Because the reality is we are no different. The Pharisees were men just like us. There were men just like us that were looking at the world and they looked at things from a worldly perspective. And that's why it's so easy to often find ourselves easily compared to the Pharisees. And so the Pharisees saying, if you will do this, then we will, you show us this sign and we will believe. It's no different than when you and I, from time to time, in our lives say, God, if you will deliver me from this situation, then I will serve you. I will serve you from my whole heart. You know, the truth is, you won't. And the other truth is, it's not going to happen because that's not faith. We often put it backwards, and that's the problem the Pharisees had. They were doing it backwards. Faith is not based upon what you see. Faith is not based upon, yeah, once you see something and you see proof of it, then you believe. Faith is believing for those things that you cannot see. It's believing because it's what the promise of God, your Creator, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, has told us. You believe the promise because He said it so. That's what faith is. Look what happened to the Pharisees. So they put themselves in the spot where they said, after seeing all these other things that Jesus Christ has done in their lives, they've seen all through Jerusalem, all through the region, they have seen the things that Jesus has done in the lives of the average people. And then within their vision, within their purview, within their ability to see and to watch and to witness. And yet they still didn't believe. So now, as he's on the cross, they mock him and they say, you show us this sign. You come down from the cross and we will believe in you. We'll acknowledge you and we'll cleave to you. Now let's go down a little bit further. This is at the death of Jesus, as he gave up his, spirit. Verse number 50 says, and again, this is Matthew 27. Verse number 50 says, and Jesus cried again with a loud voice and gave up his spirit. Now listen what happens in verse 51. And at once the curtain of the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs were opened and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep in death were raised to life. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went to the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, observed the earthquake and all that was happening, they were terribly frightened and filled with awe and said, truly, this was the Son of God. Let's think about this for a minute, because here's the Pharisees had mocked Jesus, and as he's on the cross, they said, if you can come down from that cross, then we'll believe, then we'll acknowledge, then we will cleave to you. You and I have said, God, if you will do this in my life, if you will provide for my finances, if you will get me out of this current mess that I've gotten myself in, if you will deliver me from this, if you will provide in this area or that area, then I will believe. We put ourselves in a really bad position when that's the attitude that we take. Listen, we need to start believing Jesus Christ because he is who he said he was. We need to believe Jesus Christ because the word is the most powerful thing that there is. We need to believe Jesus because that's what faith is. It's believing without seeing. And when you put yourself in the position of saying, God, I will believe if you will do this, that's not the way that God operates. That is not faith. And then you find yourself in the same place as the Pharisees. And let's go back to those verses and look what the Pharisees are looking at. Because it says in verse number 51, right after Jesus died, as he gave up his spirit, he cried again in a loud voice and gave up his spirit. The very next verse says, and at once, as soon as Jesus died, here's the things that took place. Now, we read these things a lot, but I don't think we read them with the emphasis that really is there. And at once, the curtain of the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Okay, that's the first part. First of all, that curtain was what separated the Holy of Holies from the rest of the temple. In other words, you could not enter in. You could not go past that curtain. You could not go past that into the Holy of Holies. If you did, you died on the spot. And if the priests who were allowed to go in there didn't perform their duties exactly properly, once they went beyond that curtain, because that curtain separated men from God, that was a separation because of sin. Man could not be with God. There was separation between men and God. And the priests and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the religious leaders knew and understood this. They knew what that veil represented, that curtain represented. And when it says it was ripped from top to bottom, listen, that is not something that's easy to do. This would have been a thick material. And had gold woven in it as well. And in all of that, you try to rip that from top to bottom? Okay, well, first of all, if someone's going to try to rip something, they're going to start from the bottom and work their way up, because this is rather tall. So for the fact that it ripped from the top, started at the top and ripped all the way down, and removed the separation between God and man, Those had to be statements to those priests, the Pharisees, the scribes, all the religious leaders of the time who had scoffed and said to Jesus, you know, if you show us this sign, then we'll believe. Think what went through their hearts. As now all of a sudden, they are seeing something supernatural take place. They're seeing that that veil is ripped from top to bottom, and there's no longer any separation. They would have known what that meant. They would have known what that represented. Can you imagine what they would have felt in their hearts at realizing they had missed the Messiah? And not only had they missed the Messiah, they scoffed at him and said, and challenged him and said, if you do this, then we'll believe. But it goes on in verse number 51 and says, the earth shook and the rocks were split. Listen, this is not just any kind of an earthquake. I think sometimes we read these verses and we read them with the mindset of the things that we would expect rather than what it's actually saying. It says the earth shook. This is not talking about a localized little earthquake. You know, when there's a traditional earthquake, there's always some kind of an epicenter. You know, where the two shells or the two plates, when they crash and start to go one on top of the other, and it just causes where those things crash and meet the epicenter, and that's where the most devastation is, and it kind of spreads out from there. But it only goes so far. You might feel it hundreds of miles later, but the damage is only in the, you know, located in that general location of the actual site of the earthquake. It's not global. You might feel tremors over a quarter of the earth, but it's not global in nature. This is saying the entire earth shook. When Jesus died, when the creator of the earth, who became flesh, died at the hands of man to cover their sins, it says the earth shook. That's the entire earth. This would have been a cataclysmic event unlike anything since the time of the flood. In fact, there's only two times that probably, from the creation of the world until now, that we've seen such a cataclysmic, worldwide, natural shaking or rending of the earth. Once was the flood, which changed dramatically. It changed the continents. It changed the water. Everything, the climate, all things changed at the flood because of the massive destruction and the massive changes that took place. As the waters came down from the heavens, the waters also came up from the earth. It changed the entire complexion of the earth and changed everything henceforth after that. And the only other time is here when the earth shook. The entire earth shook. Okay, this is an event. You know what? If you felt an earthquake, this is something different. The entire earth shakes and the rocks split. Again, they were waiting for a sign. They're getting a sign now, aren't they? Verse number 52, the tombs were opened and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep in death were raised to life. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went to the holy city and they appeared to many people. And when the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, observed the earthquake and all that was happening, they were frightened, terribly frightened, and filled with awe, and said, truly, this is God's Son. Listen, these things that are taking place are so cataclysmic and are so out of the norm that those who are watching the events take place are even saying, even though the Pharisees mocked Jesus on the cross and said, we'll believe you if you show us this sign. You come down from the cross, you show us this sign, and we'll believe you, we'll adhere to you, we'll cleave to you, we'll acknowledge you and believe. Now you have the centurions, those who are watching after the fact. And they're saying, because they realize that this earthquake is something beyond anything that's a norm. They are seeing things take place. Can you imagine seeing tombs rent open as the earth itself is shaken and tombs are opened up? And those who are dead and buried are coming out of the tombs. These are saints, people who believed in God and understood who Jesus was, are coming out of the tombs and walking and showing themselves and appearing to other people. That's unlike anything we've ever seen or heard before. And yet you go back to the comment of the Pharisees. God, if you will show me this, then I will believe. You know, the sad thing is, I wonder how many of those Pharisees even believed after all that. We put ourselves in a wrong position when we say to God, God, I will serve you, or I will change my life in regards to how I relate to you. I will spend more time with you. God, I will read the word every day if you will do this. God, I will go to church all the time if you will do this. God, if you will show me this, then I will know that you're real, then I'll do these things. It's totally opposite of the way that it should be. Faith is you believe and you act, then you will see. It doesn't work the other way. And that's why you see so many people that have, you know, throughout history, you always have the stories of the foxhole conversions, you know, when people in desperation cried out to God, but they're not changed afterwards, because that's not the way faith operates. Faith operates this way. You believe. Before you see, you believe. Then you see. Let's not put ourselves in the position of the Pharisees and saying, God, if you will do this in my life, and what are the things in your life? And what are the things that you're tempted to say to yourself or say to God? God, if you will do this, then I will do this. That's not the way that God operates. And you put yourselves in the place of the Pharisees, and that's never a good place to be. Because as you see, the Pharisees surrendered and lost everything because they were backwards in how they did things.